All right, good morning, everybody. The recorder is on. Welcome to the October 23rd edition of the Design Advisory Panel. We have a sign-in sheet for the development team. We have extra submission forms if folks want it. So we have one project in front of us today, and that is the St. Elmo, the site plan. The DAP saw the sketch plan of this, I think, earlier in the year, late last year.
I think about a year ago.
Yeah. And so they are back. So as I said, this is being recorded. As usual, we'll have time for presentation and then questions, and then if members of the community come, open it to them as well. So without further ado, take it away.
Great.
Steve's right hand is here. I want to describe.
He'll be here in a minute, but thank you all for meeting with us again. We're excited to be here. We're here today with Mark Dubik and John Segretti. They're with Duval, and they are now partnering with the Langton Companies. So it's going to be a joint venture. So we've got a little bit new addition to the team also in terms of the architects. With us is Michael Schwartz with David M. Schwartz and Mark Elliott. And we also have Maurice Walters, who's joining the team and combining with David M. Schwartz on the design. And we have anyone from Vika? Not today. Vika's still on the project. And then Elliott Roadside with Roadside Hardwell. So we appreciate, you know, being able to come back and present to you. We're coming back now in terms of a site plan amendment to catch the basically original 2017 site plan up with the increased height and design that was approved by the planning board last year with the sketch and preliminary plan amendments. We, as you recall, appeared before the DAP two times last year, in April and September, in connection with the sketch plan amendment. I think overall, the design was very well received, which I think was reflected in the DAP minutes, but there was suggestion that we should pay particular attention to the building setbacks, particularly along the promenade, to make sure that it was a inviting and welcoming space, kind of really at the pedestrian level the focus was. So with that, we kind of went back with the collective team to revisit the design and see what could be done. We made several changes internal to the building. Specifically, we have lowered the average floor to ceiling height to accommodate one additional floor. So we're going from 21 stories to 22 stories. And as a result of this, and also eliminating a second floor office use, we've been able to accommodate additional residential units that allow us to provide for increased setbacks, particularly on the east facade and the west facade. And we feel like these changes really respond to the DAP's previous comments. And interestingly enough, we had our community meeting on Monday night, and totally unprompted, one of the citizen members in attendance commented that he had followed the DAP process and felt that this design really successfully addressed your guys' previous concerns. So we hope you feel the same way. I know we do. And we met with staff who was also supportive of our changes. So I think with that,
the only comment I would say is, I'm Mark Dubik, but the additional floor is within the same total height of the building. Sorry, I didn't
want
there to be some misunderstanding there.
Yeah, so we're proposing the same overall density of the 330,000 and the same overall height.
And the lion's share of the additional units come from the fact that Mr. Langton and his family originally intended to make the second floor their office, but they've now moved, his father passed away, he's moved his office down on Wisconsin Avenue. He doesn't really have a need or intention to come back, and we didn't really think that a one floor of office really made any sense here. So that's where we're at. So go ahead, Mike.
Okay.
Smooth entry, Steve.
Sorry, didn't realize the door was going to pound on.
So I think probably everyone's fairly familiar with the site in the Woodmont Triangle, sort of mid-block along St. Elmo and Fairmont, just half a block in off Old Georgetown Road. I think the interesting thing that you observe when we look at the drawings and the 3D views is that while the building has, two street facades, this sort of exposure to to the old Georgetown roadside is effectively kind of like a third facade for the building, since we've got, for the most part, fairly low development here as you work your way in off Georgetown Road. And then the neighborhood, go to the next slide. The neighborhood, is, you know, it's a mixture of newer, mostly sort of, I suppose, some older office buildings that rise above the sort of the two and three story commercial, one to three story commercial buildings that sort of dot the neighborhood. And then some of the more recent additions, like the Bainbridge, our neighbor to the west, and some, you know, Duball's company has built the project just down Fairmont on the other end of the block, the Cheval. So, you know, lots happening in this neighborhood.
We also did Lionsgate and Stone Hall, which is around the corner. So we're familiar with the neighborhood.
Yeah, Fairmont repeats sort of the pattern of St. Elmo of sort of low one and two story buildings that have been there for a couple decades. Our neighbor here immediately is, you know, a sort of three, four-story building that's had some improvements over the years. And then, again, we see some of the newer buildings. The new Marriott headquarters is right around the corner going up. So the site plan has not changed since you last saw this. So the basic organization of the building is a tall bar that runs through the block with two wings that come off to the side. That begin to sort of step the mass at the top. They enclose an elevated courtyard, which sits on sort of a two-story base that sort of defines the basic footprint of the site. And then, of course, the promenade, which is created between the two buildings, and which, while it doesn't lead anywhere on the St. Elmo side, there is a connection to County Park and Garage as you work your way down the gap on the opposite side of Fairmont Street. This is a slide that we'll sort of look at here initially, and then I'll come back to in a little bit more detail a couple slides in. So the red footprint here is the building that you previously saw, and the gray outline is the current design that we're presenting to you today. And just to kind of work our way around the block, the setback to, I guess, what would be the, is this the east?
Southeast.
Was 4 feet off the property line, so we pushed it back 6 feet. So these two wings now are 10 feet off the property line. Mark has had numerous conversations with this property owner. I know that's something that they're very excited about, the fact that the building is giving them a little bit.
Mr. Rickman and his son, and he's very excited that we moved it back. He's thrilled about that. And the lady that owns the building on the other side,
Marco,
yeah, she runs a studio, and we met with her, and she's very excited too, because maybe down the road she might develop it, no plans currently. But so I think that was kind of helpful for both of those. Plus, from our standpoint, just moving back was helpful for us in terms of the reasons he's going to articulate.
On the St. Elmo and Fairmont sides of the building, the setback from the curb to the sort of the build two line has only changed by a foot. So we were at 14.9, we're at 15.10. And then the major tower setback, where we don't have an offset, which is supposed to be per the guidelines between 20 and 30 feet, we're holding at the same 29.10 that we had previously. Over on the Fairmont side, again, we're maintaining the 15-foot build two line at the lower first two floors of the building, and then we have the 10-foot south tower setback above that. There's just some minor, within a foot of tweaking of those dimensions on the tower setback on the upper floor.
Can I also just comment that Maurice Welker joined the team when we got involved, and Schwartz is still very much the purveyor, if you will, of the exterior, and but Maurice has taken the lead on the inside. He's done many, many buildings for us in terms of the unit layout. So we didn't just move this back willy-nilly. This was also part of a process to see if we could get the units maybe to be more in line with where we wanted to be for the market conditions. So it was kind of a win-win. We got the benefit of moving a lot of this back, but also we feel as if we have some better units that Maurice can describe if you want to get involved in thinking about the interiors. I don't know if this committee has an interest in that, but we'll be happy to do that.
Yeah, and so, I mean, the addition of the floor to the building, which you'll see in a moment, you know, adding that floor allowed us to kind of put the footprint, if you will, on a little bit of a diet, so we've sort of pulled it in a little bit. And I would say the most amount, in terms of the aggregate area of pullback, is most of it has been along the promenade, if you see the amount of pink here. So two things I'll point out here just preliminarily. The setback from the property line increased to the base plane of the building 2.5 feet, so we went from a 20-foot setback to a 22.5, which gets us sort of half of the 45-foot minimum recommended tower separation called for in the guidelines. I realize that doesn't address the Bainbridge side, but we're sort of somewhat constricted here on how far we can go on our own footprint, our own property. And then slightly more significantly, where the two bays occur here and here, we've pulled back near about 4 feet, so 3'10" specifically, is the additional sort of aperture that you're getting at each end of the promenade. So just kind of a quick tour around the massing view of the building. So this was the approved 21-story scheme at sketch plan. And then on the right, you see the current plan, same height, one additional floor. As was mentioned, we've taken about 2 brick courses out of each floor. So our finished ceiling height is just somewhere, just a shade under 9 feet, whereas before it was a shade above. And we've slid these two wings facing Georgetown Road 6 feet back further from the property line for a 10-foot setback now. This view has changed very little. They're fairly subtle differences. We've been working with Maurice on the plan, so some of the windows have slid around. You'll notice if you look carefully, you'll see some slight differences in some window placements. There was a balcony tier back in here that was no longer important to the plan. We've added a pergola that links these two penthouse elements at the top, which we think is an improvement. But I would say 99% the same building that you saw the last time in terms of the major architectural moves, the massing, the sculpting of the top of the building is the same as before we made these changes. Looking in from along Fairmont, again, very similar, hard to distinguish between the two without looking carefully.
Logo, could you point out about the third floor? Because
yeah, so I'll go back one. One thing that you'll pick up, a little easier to pick up, but there's a third floor here used to come out to the build two line here. So we've now pulled that back, so that floor now is in alignment with the tower setback, and you can see it again here in the approved sketch plan. This base on the building was 3 levels. Now sort of the facade height that defines the promenade and along the front now just continues all the way over to Rickman's property here, and the tower comes down. There's a 10-foot setback between those two.
In combination of not having the office on the lower floors, and
yeah,
then when Mr. Rickman made that request, it was really easy for us to accommodate that, and we think it's just a better plan that way. So he's thrilled that we did that.
Yeah, yeah. Now this is actually, I actually like this change. I like the fact that the base of the building, there's not this sort of in-between sort of element that sort of floats on the base. I think this is sort of a nice little change for the good on the Fairmont side. Otherwise, you'll notice on the elevation on the Bainbridge, we actually got rid of a tier of balconies that shows up here, that is no longer here, and I'll go through that change in a moment with you as well. So jumping back to the plan again, so. These are all the numbers. We can get into these in more detail if you're interested during Q&A. But the sort of the major differences are sort of, I'll run through the numbers quickly. Down at the first two floors, where the Bainbridge has a recess, we were at 38.6 apart. We're now at 41. where these two tower element, where the two bays project in. We were at 32.2, we're now at 36. The bays have set back an additional 3'10", as I mentioned. We've slid back an additional 2'6" from the property line there. The dimension from the tower portion of the Brain Bridge to our tower face has increased from 35.3 to 37.9. And these two dimensions are just a repeat of what you see up here. So the other one that's noteworthy along the promenade is sort of the dimensions along the building itself. And this, I think, is important to note, is that the two bay projections here and here that extend into the promenade have actually been pulled back as well as pulled apart. So this one has maintained its position relative to where it sits relative to St. Elmo, but this one here, we've slid it back. Oh, I touched the screen. Sorry about that. Thank you, Mark. So we've slid this bay over 14 feet 8 inches. So we've actually given the center of the promenade a little bit more breathing space in terms of the amount of space where you experience the full width between our base plane and the base plane facade of the Bainbridge. And then looking at the two elevations side by side, this is the approved sketch plan. And over on the right is the proposed design. Same height, 225 feet plus 23 feet of penthouse, one additional floor, some minor adjustments in fenestration in here. The big difference is the sliding of this bay projection here. They were 76 and change apart before. We're now at 91 feet apart. So we've effectively moved it from that yellow line to that yellow line. In the process, we went from 6 tiers of balconies to 5 tiers of balconies. So we've eliminated this tier of balconies. We actually had 2 balconies on one apartment, which was unnecessary. And we think that giving that up and getting a little bit more space here was a positive change on that side of the building. This is the view you never see, but we wanted to show it to you. This is the dead-on view along St. Elmo. So this was the previous approved sketch plan design. And then you can see the narrowing of the tower as a result of this increased setback and the additional width that we've provided between the two buildings.
Can you flip back and forth between those again? Go back. Yeah. Okay.
These are a couple of views looking down the promenade. This is looking in from St. Elmo, looking south. This was the approved sketch plan design. Here you can barely sort of pick up the fact that it's sliding over with the revised design. And then the next slide kind of illustrates how you get, in effect, the aperture, the amount of sky you see between the two buildings increases by the sort of the outline in red there, which was sort of, if we superimpose the two buildings over each other, the old building would be sort of filling in what I'm showing there. And then doing the same sort of exercise looking the other direction from Fairmont, the difference, maybe Mark just sort of toggled between the two, and then the next slide shows that same effect where you see the what would have been the outline of where we were to where we are. We've also changed some of the balconies here. We've made them all along the promenade. We've sort of lightened them up a little bit and gone to a metal railing there. We didn't feel that the parapeted balcony there was as important to the overall look of the building as on other parts of the building. So we've made that change as well. I think previously they were sort of alternating brick, metal, which seemed a little out of character to the building. So we made them sort of a consistent read. And then I guess with that, I'll let Elliot
you'll permit me to do it.
I'm honored to have Elliot talk about the landscape plan.
Good morning. We worked with you during the last process to evolve the promenade design. And the promenade design in the previous submittal included a swoosh of paving that would unify the overall promenade. And there were two other elements. One was a raised podium with a wood slatted area that would be for informal cafe tables and chairs. And then the focal point of the area was the sculpture location. And we worked closely with the arts group and with the planning department and with you in the evolution of the plan. And the plan was approved and refined during that process. The next plan shows the evolution of the promenade, and with the additional feet down at the ground level, it certainly makes a better, hairier promenade condition. We worked with the design team to explore whether any of the elements in the design should change. The main reason for change would be the extension of retail possibly along the promenade, which we think would be great because it would help activate the promenade. And we explored two different options. One was in order to respond to the retail in this location, possibly extending this upslope in order to provide a direct access to the retail area. The second alternative, which you see, is to provide sort of no change except for modifying the paving to accommodate for the wider promenade and incorporate movable outdoor furnishings that would provide opportunities for eating outside, working outside, being outside. So the proposed design is the same, except it's wider and has more paving in order to accommodate the greater width. But all the elements, all the locations of the promenade landscape architecture features are the same with the addition of the outdoor furnishings. So the next slide shows the palette of materials for the promenade. It's still granite paving, it's wood decking in the area in the lower portion of the promenade. We still have the steel planting edges. All the paving is the same. All the features are the same that you approved in the last submittal. And the next slide shows the addition of two furniture elements. One is the tables that could be at two different heights, one to accommodate disabled, the other to accommodate both dining and standing tables, the addition of those kind of chairs, and the location, and you might go back two slides, to show the addition of a couple lounge chairs that would possibly further activate the place and make it sort of a comfortable attraction. So going up to the furnishings, would be something like this. All the elements are the same. It's contemporary, it's beautiful, it's low-key, it's the same as what you had approved before. So that's it.
As Michael mentioned, there's a lot that's still similar on the footprint. There are a few changes you probably find interesting. One is on Fairmont, we stopped the retail, but the office component is gone. So that used to kind of bifurcate the retail with an entrance there, as well as there was an exit coming out on the passage that kind of broke the retail. So by getting rid of that, we're able to get a nice kind of sweep of retail with the Fairmont frontage, and then that runs back along the Paseo there. So an opportunity to open up, as Elliot mentioned, to the Paseo. The residential lobby component over on St. Elmo is virtually the same. The door is in the same place. We've done some tweaking with the cores and the infrastructure of the building, but from the outside, it's pretty much identical. The other kind of change that you probably find, you know, significant is the original design had a loading dock that backed in off of Fairmont, and then there was loading and the trucks pulled back out. And then it had the vehicular entrance off of St. Elmo to the below grade parking garage, and then there's a little swath of retail off to the edge there. So one of the things we looked at early on was try to get a better service movement through the site. So instead of having a back end, we've made a service lane that will continue through from Fairmont to St. Elmo, so trucks will enter the site. There'll be two berths. Also, the residential trash, the retail trash can come out and be picked up by trucks. We can service directly to the retail. We can service through a back passage into the elevators for move-ins for the building. And then trucks will then, when they're done, complete, they'll pull out without having to back on either St. Elmo or Fairmont. The parking garage component is basically identical to what it was before, so you'll enter off of St. Elmo and then ramp down, and there's four levels below grade.
So we actually get more retail than what was there before because we don't have the lobbies to the office. We have a more efficient loading that doesn't have all the beep, beep, beeps and the backs in and out, and our adjacent property owners were obviously thrilled about that. So I think it's kind of a win-win.
Yeah, I think that was very well received at the community meeting, too.
Floor. Okay, the second floor, so previously this was all office space, so it's basically just been converted to residential. And as Michael mentioned, this is where the building extends out, and you have this kind of podium extends all the way to the south property line. And then we do have a courtyard inside with some of the units facing there. And then if we go up one more floor, you're in the typical floor of the building, so you can see the setbacks that Michael had described in the courtyard. The building's got a mix of unit types. It's got, you know, a tier of studios, a bunch of one bedrooms. It does, one thing that's kind of interesting is it does have some tiers of larger three bedroom units. And then as the building goes up, it steps back. And then at the top of the building, we've got some really grand, large apartments with lots of terracing and all that nice stepping. And also on the 22nd floor, we'll have the amenity component over on the northwest side, health club, party room, lounge up there, and then a couple of three large apartments on that floor, and then up one more floor. We're up on the roof. We still have the pool, the pergola that was added that Michael described. The two penthouses, one side will have pool equipment and storage, emergency stair. The other side has the elevators, lifeguard, toilets, and mechanical components within it. And then recessed within those structures, there'll be additional mechanical equipment up at the top that will be concealed in that well. Green roofs. We have about 5,700 square feet of green roof on all the different terraces. Any questions?
Can you flip back to one of your earlier slides? You had a 3D diagram that showed a 6-foot setback, right?
It's a 10-foot setback that was a 6-foot shift of the building. Yeah.
But that's not necessarily reflected in the plans, though.
We're 10 now. We were 4. So the distance between those two is the 6 feet.
I think it's 6 foot.
Hmm?
Oh, well, then go back to the diagram you were just showing. Oh, I'm sorry. I misinterpreted
it's plus
that.
Six.
It should say plus six feet as opposed to it is 6 feet. Yeah. Yeah.
What's not to like? Seriously, I mean, I think your response to the comments previously are great. I think I'm certainly not bothered by the passageway width.
Right.
I wasn't particularly bothered by it last time, but I'm even more pleased now, and I think everybody else probably is,
well,
too.
And I think moving the one punch out closer to Fairmont really helped.
I think we'd even mention
and,
that.
And losing one set of balconies, I think, really helped.
I think that it was always a handsome building. It's still a handsome building, but I think
a
lot of the sensitive issues have been taken care of.
And I like what happened to the St. Elmo's elevation, getting rid of that one set of balconies. There were two sets. One was curved, and the other one, they didn't seem to work together. And getting rid of that one set, I think, really helped.
Yeah.
Oh, the piece that came off on the one end of the bay there.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that was a good move.
And I think, Elliot, you have more to work with, which is nice.
We always want that.
You just added 1,700 bricks. That's all.
It matters.
That's easy.
Well, what you just described is a great example of sort of necessity is the mother invention, because right. We were working with Maurice is working the plans out, and we're, you know, adapting that to the massing. And we had a unit with no balcony, and we had a unit with two balconies, and so this doesn't make any sense. So,
yeah, I was never worried about the tightness because the width of the promenade, because it was an expression of urbanity. But giving it more space, 4 or 5 feet, is better.
No,
so it's good.
Yeah, the reality is it would be hard to perceive it if you were there standing.
Yeah, definitely.
It's certainly a positive in the direction.
And we spent a lot of time with staff, so thank you very much for your efforts.
So just one couple questions. Remind me of the property ownership immediately to the south and the probability that of redevelopment of those properties.
So the Lankin Company owns an assemblage of properties to the south.
I don't know if you, we can go all the way back to the to this view here. I don't remember how many they own or how far.
The immediate adjacent one is somebody else.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's three or four properties.
Yeah, it's about three or four.
But Fairmont, you've got Rickman right next door. And then
right.
The office building and then the other smaller building in between.
And there's the garage for the office building on Old Bridgetown
Road.
So.
Right.
We're happy to work out those issues with him.
That's for sure. That's on the other side of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I only ask because, you know, the project has a great presence, or will have a great presence on Georgetown, and what will happen when those properties immediately adjacent get redeveloped.
Disappear.
Yeah, all of a sudden.
We'll make sure we go out and take our pictures now.
Yeah.
Well, how many fragmented ownership is there to the south? You mentioned one.
Well, in St. Elmo, I think Lankin owns three of the properties, and there's one small property that's owned by someone else.
She owns the one immediately next to
DeMarco. The
he
French
owns
video store,
store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So he owns a bunch in here, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
He doesn't own that guy.
Just that one.
He doesn't own one little piece that
which is
if it develops, it's going to be
When you say
modest.
He, is that the current they, property owner of the...
That's
part
Lankin.
Joint venture. Lankin.
Gotcha.
Okay. Not subject to this development. It's not part of the holding.
And Rick owns that little building, the brownstone on Fairmont.
Right.
And then there's the garage for the office building.
Right.
I don't think there's much you could do with his property. I mean, that would be
And he spent a lot of money on that building, if you've studied it.
Yeah. It'd be a pretty inefficient building if you decided to go tall on that postage stamp.
Well, you'd have to assemble more properties.
Yeah.
Hopefully the whole thing would be assembled.
Well, I'm with these two guys. I think you've made some really nice refinements.
Right.
Thank you.
The only thing gives me a little bit of pause, if you look down the promenade, if you have an image that's down the promenade, I'm glad that you don't have quite as many cantilevers, if you will. The two areas that are proud of the rest, one that you move back closer to Fairmount and the one close there, I must say I'd like to bring those all the way to the ground rather than cantilevered out over the whole.
You've been pretty consistent on that.
I've been pretty consistent on that. It just seems,
I've heard that before.
Yeah, it just seems... It just seems that it's all hanging off, and this is classical. I mean, this is heavy, you know, masonry look about it, etc. It feels like it should be grounded, those two wings right there and there. And I don't think that would compromise the promenade in terms of dimension, et cetera, because you pick that up. And it might give a feature to that long wall that's essentially all the same.
So let's take a look at the promenade plan.
Yeah. And to
where would they land?
Where would they land?
I mean, generally they would
in the shaded areas.
In the shaded areas.
To me, that, you know, that would ground the building a little bit. You know, just that one view that's all the same down with the cantilever.
Not sure it would help our retail very much on the side hurt. There.
What I like about the plan now is that there's easy passage along the St. Elmo apartments, along this side of the promenade. And I didn't mention that we developed the elevation of the seating area to accommodate ADA access in this area. So it just opens it up and keeps it clean and straightforward, spacious. Of course, we could design a change and accommodate it, but I like the free passage the way it works right now.
Yeah, I guess we were, when we look at it, I totally understand the comment. I think if we, Mark, if you flip to one of the other slides, it shows the building overall.
You know what would be nice, though, if you, in that views of looking down that passageway, if the landscape were actually in there.
Exactly.
Yeah. The landscape was actually in these 3D diagrams.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a lot more understandable.
Sure.
If you start bringing those pieces down and pass through, then it starts to ask the question whether it needs, defer to Michael on that, but then it wouldn't be in the St. Elmo or Fairmont. I think it starts to look a bit out of place, maybe.
Well, what we were trying to do, and this is the first slide to look at, is I think, you know, we're right or wrong, we like this notion of a very strongly expressed sort of base on the building, and that you have these sort of, what I'll call sort of, for lack of a better word, sort of major reference planes that everything projects off of. And we think the cantilever is sort of an important expression of the sort of architecture of the building. The building is sort of traditional in its use of materials, but I think there are, you know, there are sort of mixed in with this, there are sort of some early modernistic sort of notations about, you know, sort of glassy corners and cantilevers, on, particularly on the balconies. And then if you flip to the St. Elmo view, the one place where we sort of break the rule is at the front mm-hmm. door, where mm-hmm. we bring it straight down.
Exactly.
So I understand what you're saying. I guess it's, you know, it's one of those sort of, there's never a black or white answer. It's always shades of gray in this case.
I guess for 2 years I've been anti-cantilever and bringing some elements all the way down to the ground, and I appreciate that elevation better than I appreciate the promenade, where I think bringing those elements down, and on Fairmont also, I think bringing, if you flip to Fairmont,
mm-hmm.
bringing that corner element all the way down, I think would really help. You've got that strong vertical
mm-hmm.
element that kind of hangs out there. And so I would like to, you know, study bringing that corner down and anchoring this building. But I guess I've said that. So I've got a reputation of being Mr. Zipper, right? Mr. Continuity on this board. I've been saying that about a lot of projects, haven't I?
Wasn't there some comment early on about, you know, that these were very diagrammatic and they're not showing the brackets, or there was brackets or something that was holding up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this fin comes back and kind of catches
yeah,
that.
I thought there was going to be some brackets on the whole Paseo side.
Yeah, that was something we showed at a sort of a concept level that we'll study as we move forward.
Yeah.
Hasn't come up yet in this process, but so it's really something we can look at.
Well, we were worried about the undercroft
yeah.
of these cantilevers.
Except they're shallower than they used to be.
That's the good news, right.
Indifferent.
Yeah, right, exactly. Exactly.
So one of the nice things about having these two images up together is the one on the right clearly is thinner, has much better aspect ratio.
Yep, yep.
It's a lot more pleasant.
Yep.
Yep.
And the other on St. Elmo's also is much thinner, more elegant. I think getting rid of that one set of balconies was a good move.
I like the top better from the south as well. I think, you know, by that little separate balcony up there and then the arcade, I think you just get more of a top than you had before.
Get the purple
top was
up
very
top.
Narrow before or very shallow.
Yeah, we actually dropped this bay down floor, which
I think that helps.
Yeah, that helps.
I guess one of the things I wondered about looking at this in advance of the meeting was why the penthouse on the right is so high. Now that I see your plans, I understand it, but it just seems really high to me. Is there any way to redistribute that equipment to get that a little bit lower?
We are jammed tight with everything. There's like every square foot of the top of it's taken.
I mean, can you increase the footprint area of it to pull equipment down?
Can you go to the
plan more? Actually, the next one. I guess we'd have to look at going this way or this way to get more space up there.
Then you lose green roof.
Yeah, that is a problem.
Yeah, we're kind of jammed on everything.
We're trying to get as much green roof as possible.
So is that penthouse on the right open to the sky? Is that a cooling tower up there? Or?
It's a dedicated outdoor air. A dedicated outdoor air stair pressurization fan, and then we're also trying to get our retail exhaust up there.
Wow.
So for the restaurant, so there's a lot going on.
So you couldn't put a louver on the north face and pull the dedicated air in off the north face?
The units have to go up on the roof, though. It's actually...
Yeah,
no, there's one like right above us. It's like the size of a car.
Yeah, no, I'm familiar with it, but there are other methods in which you can get outside air into them.
You said pull it down into the body of the building?
No. I'm saying if you made the footprint bigger, could you put a roof on top of that unit to get green roof up there?
Oh.
To compensate for the fact that the footprint may get bigger.
Yes. We could do that, yes. You'd have to put a big louver, either on one of these facades or facing the front deck.
The roof plan shows that whoever has the flashing contract is going to do very well. you have a lot of parapets and a lot of flat roofs with green stuff on it, etc. Wow.
Which is pretty typical.
Yeah, I know it's very typical today. It's like...
Well, you've actually learned how to do it.
Yeah, I know.
It's also from the master plan. You know, we were really pushing... We have special guidelines in the master plan that require like 35% green coverage.
No, absolutely.
And we're encouraging people to do that with the green roofs.
Absolutely.
Any other comments from the panel?
Our landscaping expert is not here on the panel, and she probably would ask what kind of trees or what kind of on the two streets. What are
it's
the
same
types,
thing.
Et
I think I don't have the plans with me. I think Ulmus parvifolia was on Fairmont or on St. Elmo, and honey locusts, I believe, were on the other. It's the same. Everything is the same. And there were Japanese maples in the oval planter and just ground covers on the one closer to Fairmont.
Yeah, you just want to know about that. And
yeah, it's the same.
I think the through block loading dock arrangement is great. I mean, that's very impressive that you can do that. That's real.
Yeah, everyone has
great,
really liked that.
Would that every development, that we could do that. That's very, very good.
It's this ingenious idea called an alley.
This happens to be covered, right? It's a covered alley.
With a roof on it, yeah.
With a roof on it, right. Gee.
And we have really spent a significant time on the promenade to try to really make that spatial difference meaningful. Spent a lot of time with staff.
And that's why we, you know, we explored a few options, but decided to keep it as it was approved and just adapt the width and adapt the furnishings to accommodate the retail, which makes it better.
So we appreciate your analysis of this very much.
So if there are no other comments from the panel, I don't see members of the public here. So I think we can go ahead and do the vote. This is site plan, so the panel will be voting on the number of points. I'm given to understand that the applicant is requesting 15 points, the minimum, of course, being 10, the maximum being 30. So what I think, as we discussed before, the panel can choose to award any number of points that it sees appropriate.
I personally think 15 is a reasonable number.
15 is certainly.
I mean, it's and particularly with the responsiveness that's happened
right.
over the last changes, et cetera, I think that it's we could push it more, but 15 is certainly not an issue with me.
I agree.
Yeah, 15 is not an issue.
All right, so we have 3 votes for 15. So carried. And then I think that concludes our business for
Thank
the day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Nice job.
Thank you.
Thanks for
coming.
Thank you.
We read it.
Yes,
you did. You guys gave us a roadmap. Pretty easy.
Good job.
You're pretty clear. Come back.
You know.